The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Hello and welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Matt here, and after his world-wide visit to Cincinnati, back home in Buffalo, we have Alex joining us. Hello, Alex.
Oh, it's good to be home.
I bet it is for you, buddy.
I just posted a small video on Instagram of literally a steaming pile of wings with blue cheese, hashtag not ranch, and it was just everything that I miss. Orange Buffalo in the UK is good. There's just no comparison, though. I mean, I'm probably going to have wings three more times while I'm here.
That's right. I'm saving up my wings for the first game of the season first home game next week.
There you go.
Yeah, if it's on Sky, even better. If it's not, still going to have the wings, still going to stream it somewhere.
Yep, gotta make it happen.
Exactly. And you said Orange Buffalo. If anyone is in and around London, search them out and go for them. If Alex says they're good wings.
It is literally it's the closest that you can get to authentic. The blue cheese really isn't on point, but the wings are. I mean, there's some restaurants like Wingstop. They're awful. I had them. They were gummy. I don't know where else or any kind of chains. Any pub that has wings, it's just not going to be the same thing. It's not a hard thing to get to do right, but apparently everyone gets it wrong. I mean, I was at Wingfest last year out by London Stadium, and they were all dinky and small and breaded and just wrong. It was so heartbreaking.
As long as people actually look them out if they're in London, they can give us reviews, because obviously I'll make this no secret, both me and you are trying to get hold of them to see if they can they could try and sponsor us or be a partner with us.
I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Their curly fries too are unbelievably good. They season them with something special. It tastes just like the seasoned curly fries that you can get in Buffalo. It's fantastic. They were actually just at the Wing Fest in Buffalo, which takes place over Labor Day weekend, and the line for them was really long, so it was very impressive. But loving the wings here, but also ready for week two, Buffalo Bills versus New York Giants. What are you thinking?
It's got to be a win. It's got to be, hands down, it's got to be a win. You're going to have to take advantage of the situation that the Giants have at wide receiver. But we'll come on to that a little bit in a bit, because we probably have loads to talk about on there. What we'll do, I know you've got a few news items that you want to go through, Bills news related.
Yeah, so we can start with just what's been going on with the Bills this week. Terrell Dodson, linebacker of the Bills, suspended 6 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Disappointing, because it's a bad situation for a player in a Bills jersey. Never looks good on us, but he's not a high-profile player.
Yeah.
Unlikely to play a snap this season. So it's just, it is what it is. I don't know why he's not been cut.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously my reckoning there is that really, is it a punishment for him missing 6 games? Is it going to roll over for when he is actually on the roster? Or is it now 6 games, even though he's on the practice squad, so he won't be able to be on the roster or call up for the roster after 6?
Yeah, no, It has to be when he gets called up. He misses six games. So I think there's no point to even have him around. I mean, for domestic violence, don't even have him on the practice squad. That's just an ugly player on your roster.
It's, what's it? It's the Kansas City guy, wasn't it? Kareem Hunt, wasn't it? He got done for.
Yeah, he got eight games.
Yeah.
He got cut by the Chiefs immediately, which was fantastic. Good for you, Chiefs. Don't put the team in front of, you know, a moral stance. So he's with Cleveland now, and he's sitting until week eight or week nine. I think they have a bye week in there, so it doesn't count.
I think his first game back will be, Kareem Hunt will be against us.
I think it's against us, yeah.
Yeah.
So I would only imagine him to maybe get like 10 touches, but I mean, he's explosive. So that's not great. But I mean, if Cleveland stays a mess like they looked last week, I wouldn't be too worried. I mean, they're still the Browns. At the end of the day, sure, they got Odell Beckham. They were average last year. I don't see them being amazing this year. Maybe 9-7 as well. I don't know. We'll see if they can pull it together. But staying on the Bills, does it matter to you who is deemed running back one, wide receiver one, tight end one? Does it matter to you who's called the starter?
No, for me, no. I mean, with running backs, I've saw that Jerry Sullivan trying to
he's the worst. He's a giant tool. I can't stand him.
Yeah, trying to get McDermott to undoubtedly name someone the number one. But as we've heard previously, and what we're probably seeing now, is they're not going to name a starter. They're going to game plan around who their opponents are going to be.
Yeah.
So I think,
I mean, that's modern football. Jerry Sullivan stuck in the dark ages about needing to have a running back one, a wide receiver one. Look at our roster. We don't have an all-star running back. We don't have an all-star wide receiver. We're doing the best we can with what we have. And, you know, just shut up and report on something important.
I can kind of understand the number one wide receiver, number one tight end. It's always going to be a go-to guy for, especially your tight end.
We don't have that, you know?
Yeah.
Brown and Beasley will share targets, but they're in different sections of the field is where they're going to get targeted. And then Zay Jones and Robert Foster are also like the 2A, kind of the X and Y is Brown and then Zay/Foster. So if you need to label it as that, where they play on the field. But in terms of targets, target distribution is going to be, I think, quite even.
Depends who's open.
Theo Jones.
Yeah, just depends who's open at the time.
Yeah.
And who gets a number called, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think you want your quarterback to feed one player, because then he starts forcing the ball. And Josh Allen doesn't need something like that to stop him from progressing. You want him to read the field. You want him to read the defense. You don't want him to just lock in on one guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna have probably his favorite target out there, but you can't really call him,
right?
Yeah, potentially him. Obviously, him, John Brown, and whichever tight end he actually's got more chemistry with, which at the moment I think is probably Sweeney, out of all of them. So obviously he's got his favorite targets, but you can't really determine whether one of them is going to be the alpha now number one, or can you actually put a label on him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't need that. Apparently Jerry Sullivan needs that. So Jerry, keep pissing off the coach. That's a good idea. I mean, we're never going to ask. we're not going to ask him on the show. So I'll be open about my opinion about that guy.
Yeah, why not?
Right. And then, I mean, do you read him? Do you read the Buffalo News at all?
No. Maybe a glance if it pops up on the old Twitter feed.
So where do you here's a UK question. Where do you get your Bills news from? What's like the first place you go to?
Mainly it's gonna be the likes of Buffalo Rumblings, when it pops up on Twitter,
So it's going to be from York, Twitter, Sarah. Right?
Hey?
So it's going to be like from Twitter, essentially, or are you going to their website first?
Going to the website via Twitter.
Okay, yeah, I get that. I think that's kind of how it's changed, I guess.
Yeah, because I'm getting most of mine from Syracuse.com with Ryan Tolbert, Matt Parrino, et al. On there. I mean, I'm looking into, obviously, The Athletic. We've got Matt Fairburn and Joe Biscaglia there as well.
I'd love to have The Athletic. It's just it's hard for me to commit to spending money on a news article on the internet where I think the internet should just be free all the time, everywhere.
Yeah.
Then again, I do pay for fantasy football. I do pay for a fantasy football website, so maybe that's just different, though. I pay
swings
for
and roundabouts.
Yeah, for 1 month in for the month of August, I pay for Fantasy Pros just to get my leagues in their draft simulator and fidget with it, just so I can get a real good understanding of what things are going to look like. But yeah, that's not an app for Fantasy Pros. They're not paying me.
Yeah, but no, that's where pretty much I get those. Get those from. I think they're the ones I really look out for. Obviously, the guys that we've had on, I will look at their articles and follow up on their articles on there. And then obviously, the guys usually at Buffalo Rumblings and even Buffalo Fanatics, those guys I will look into. Even Cover One, I've had a subscription with them, and Bills Wire. They're the ones, because obviously they're a bit more in depth with their technical knowledge. And obviously breakdowns. So there's a lot of good build content, whether it be from the beat reporters or from guys like the guys at Buffalo Rumblings at Cover One and them that are putting out those contents regularly and free for the people to share.
Do you find yourself on the Bills website at all ever?
Occasionally.
Yeah, I've never... If I need to find something, I'm never thinking BuffaloBills.com. I just think that it's too... I want unfiltered opinions. And I think that anyone writing for BuffaloBills.com obviously has to shine everything in a positive light. But it's just weird. Like, I want Bills news. Where are you going to go? Well, not Bills.com. That just sounds strange, you know?
Yeah, I think with them, yes, they... obviously give their game previews, what to look for and all that, but they're also doing just almost like on the community site for Nathan.
I think
I've not really seen that much newsworthy that come up. It's always the Bills today, so this quarter Josh Allen spent time with these guys. We've got more interviews with players. That's probably the only other place. I mean, I'm just looking at the website now. One of them is the latest news on there, obviously apart from the key matchups. We've got how kicker Stephen Hauschka will help Dogs find their forever home this season. So it's got those type
of... That's the kind of content that I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's got that sort of stuff on there. So I don't tend to look at it that much. I will glance at it. But I won't spend
ages. It's
not ages.
Like number one. Yeah.
So
staying on Bills news, the last bit that I'm looking at is my favorite position on the field, tight end. I thought you were thinking punter, weren't you? But no.
Yes.
Tyler Kroft back practicing. I really like what's going on with Tommy Sweeney and Dawson Knox. It's good to get the rookies the snaps. Kroft has never really impressed me looking at his Bengals footage, but who would you rather have in there this week?
To be honest, I would take Sweeney, because he's had that chemistry. He caught, what was it, two passes for 39 yards last week against the Jets. Dawson Knox didn't really get a look in on there. You got Tyler Kroft coming back from injury, so they're going to take him slowly, maybe put him in for a play or two here and there. And obviously Lee Smith's your designated blocker tight end.
Do we have a number on how many snaps he saw? Because, I mean, with us not running the ball, early on in that game. I'm worried about the fact that we're going to be carrying too many tight ends. And plus, if Tommy Sweeney, the 7th round draft pick, looked better than Dawson Knox, a 3rd round draft pick, do we drop him to the practice squad? Because he'll get signed, you know?
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see what we're going to do there.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those, do they, don't they? I think they'll carry 4. I think they'll keep the 4 on there because they can't afford to lose Knox or Sweeney. And I think if they can develop one of those, maybe Sweeney into a blocking tight end as well as a receiving and all-rounding one, then maybe Lee Smith is expendable.
Yeah.
At the end of the season, maybe they keep the 4 again. Who knows? I say it depends on what the season holds, really, to what we can actually to what we can expect in the next off season.
Mhm. Yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping that position gets filled out because I mean, I know that what's his face for the Lions looked really good in week 1, but I just don't like drafting tight ends. I just I've said it a billion times, but
yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much all that's kind of going on with the Bills. I mean, the injury report just came out. Nothing surprising. Nothing too bad.
Jaron Johnson and Andre Roberts.
I mean, the biggest thing is going to be the cornerback depth, you know?
Yeah.
But the good news is we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Because the Giants don't have wide receivers.
Exactly. One other thing I wanted to bring up which I found interesting from the last game against the Jets was obviously the rotation. We were talking about the rotation at right tackle between Nsekhe and Ford.
Yeah.
They pretty much split that 50-50.
Yeah. Their pass grades were both really really good, but their run grades weren't that pretty. And I think that's just because there wasn't enough volume for them to get the run numbers up. But I mean, early on in the season, I'm fine if that happens. I mean, we were talking in the offseason about Cody Ford playing at right guard, which is where I like him more. But Feliciano is a lock right there, I think, right now. He really played well last week.
Exactly. I think you've got 4 of the 5 already settled. You've got Dawkins, you've got Spain, Morse, and Feliciano.
Yeah.
I think they need to make that decision within the next couple of games to head towards the Patriots and head towards the bye week on which one you're going to use. I think I read somewhere that they're either trying to see what both of them are like or they're trying to game play at a tackle spot.
Mm-hmm.
You can't game play at a tackle spot.
Yeah, that's weird. I guess it's just taking it slow with them. But, yeah. I mean, it's not like they're doing a rookie thing with Ford because Ed Oliver played the whole game. You know, he was fantastic.
So it's going to be interesting. I think, yes, they need to make that decision. Hopefully by the bye week, they'll have settled on that offensive line and for the rest of the season.
But if the rotation keeps guys healthy and fresh too, then keep doing it. As long as you don't see a problem there, you know, as long as like you're not getting, if a guy comes in cold and makes a mistake, then yeah, stop a rotation. But if they're coming in and performing, then just do that all year, you know?
Yeah. The only thing I'm worried about is if they do that, is that against teams with a better pass rush, you're going to have them in and out. That's going to cause a bit of a mismatch. I think that could be an issue.
But I mean, at the same time, it could also be a mismatch for the other team because if Cameron Wake stays on the field all game and we're rotating our guys, we're more fresh.
Yeah,
I mean, it can go both ways, but I just think right now for week 1, they're just figuring it out. You know, that's all week 1 is. It's for me, it's like win if you can, but figure out where guys need to be kind of thing.
Yeah,
luckily,
exactly.
Luckily, we got a win from the tire fire that is the Jets. Let's focus on AFC East news now. For the tire fire that is the New York Jets right now, you really wish that you would have scored some points in the first half there. If they are going to be bad, then we need to be better, you know?
Yeah.
Than what happened. because the news coming out of New York right now is really ugly on the Jets. I mean, Darnold being out. I mean, what's your look on that?
I mean, yes, that's definitely going to be a hindrance for the Jets, because I don't think Trevor Siemian is going to be their go-to guy. I mean, they got the Browns, who lost heavily to, what was it, the Lions, wasn't it? I think. I can't remember. And then they've got, obviously they've got next week, they've got the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So that's your two losses there, where at least with Darnold in, you're going to have a shot at least against the Browns. Maybe not so much the Patriots, but I'm just loving what he's actually out for, 2 or 3 weeks with mono.
Yeah, it's really serious too. I mean, I've never had it. It's not just a kissing disease. You know, there's other ways to get it. Like if someone maybe sneezed on him, boom, he has mono, something like that.
It's similar to I think it's sort of similar to what we've had, what we would call glandular fever.
Never heard of that before.
Never heard of glandular fever?
No, enlighten me.
It's pretty much, I don't really know how to describe it, to be honest.
Well, you're not a doctor, right? So maybe you should describe it.
No, glandular fever, it does affect mouth, throat, and sinuses. It's almost like a really, really, really extreme case of man flu.
Okay.
It's a viral.
What I'm reading about mono here. Gotcha. What I'm reading about mono here is there's a website. What is it? It's like a football doc or something like that. Or it's on Twitter. The mono will enlarge the spleen. And if he takes a sack, then that's super dangerous for rupturing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes you feel tired. You lose weight. We're looking at more than 2 or 3 weeks probably.
Yeah. I mean,
and the worst thing about it is he's going to get rusty too, because he can't even be around like the team. So he's not practicing or anything.
I think symptoms of glandular fever, which is also commonly known as mono, fever, sore throat, swollen lymph glands, headache, fatigue, muscle weakness, swollen tonsils, night sweats. So there is quite a lot on there.
What a train wreck for the Jets, man. I mean, you got to think, you come in with the roster that they had. They're super, you know, they're jacked. They're ready to go. And then, you know, you hear Adam Gase, your coach, talk about how you didn't like Darnold as much as Mayfield. I mean, obviously, Mayfield went first, but you have that, and then it's just, and then this happens. And the second I heard about Darnold being out with mono, I was like, does he really have it, or does Gase just not like him and is benching him?
I just laugh. I think someone posted on Twitter the fact that the cause of Darnold getting mono was him kissing the 16-point lead against the Bills goodbye.
That was clever. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, that got a like from me for sure.
Yeah.
So the Jets are a tire fire. It makes us look worse, which is a bummer. But moving on, what I didn't want to talk about last show, but I will spend a minute on now, is Antonio Brown. Now I can do a whole show by myself on this and this topic, and the situation and the implication and everything. But I'm just going to say that the Patriots not making a stand here, the Patriots not saying we're going to bench him, he's not going to play until this is figured out, goes to show that they prioritize money and wins over morality and believing women and taking a stance on this massive problem.
I mean,
it's a train wreck.
Yeah, I mean, you can see what's happened. They obviously did it with Josh Gordon as well. I mean, yes, he got done for steroids and all that sort of stuff, but obviously he was suspended.
I think with Gordon, though, Gordon was a menace to himself, And it's good that the team stuck with him because he was battling inner demons.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown hurting someone else.
Mm.
That's a problem. That makes him a bad person.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's two sides to this story. People like to pick a side and stick with it. I can't stand people who will come to his defense and say, oh, women are gold diggers. Don't be a jerk. And then it's like, you know, women, she's a victim. People will say, oh, what took so long? You know, it's dangerous out there to stand up for yourself against someone of his stature.
I mean,
people don't understand that.
I mean, again, we refer back to Kareem Hunt.
Absolutely.
Obviously,
Ray Rice. I mean, the NFL has had years to figure out how to handle this, and they still suck at it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, end of the day, Patriots are going to do what the Patriots want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not really going to get punished that much for it. But at least we're not in the dumpster truck of a fire that is the Miami Dolphins. I mean,
I'm asking
this. Obviously, it's come out now that Minka Fitzpatrick wants to be traded away. Would you take him? Would you actually give up a couple of draft picks to actually get him as part of the Bills?
Well, with our corner depth being so shallow, and he prefers, he said that the Dolphins are playing him at the wrong spot. He prefers to play slot corner. I think we have those guys, but he's someone that wouldn't hurt us by any means. Mm. If the Dolphins are asking for a second round pick, pass. You know, we need that more than we need a third corner. He doesn't like to play outside either. So if he just wants to stay at slot corner, that's not worth a second round pick.
Yeah, I think with it, I think maybe give up at least one of the fifths that we've got, and I will possibly say a third and a fifth possibly. But I've been hearing that Miami just want crazy
look,
stuff.
Look, Antonio Brown went for a third and a fifth. And you're Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, you were a high first round. You're a first round draft pick. You're younger than Antonio Brown, but you don't play at a position that's that important. I'll give you a fourth and a sixth, maybe.
Yeah, I think with it, I would love the Bills to actually try and make a play for him, because yes, he can add that competition to the cornerback room. He can play safety. So again, you've got a guy that's jack of all trades.
Yeah.
And if he wanted to, and if they had specific packages, he can play the big nickel role, actually come down and play as a linebacker, because he has the size to do that.
They played him there, but he doesn't want to do that. He was very vocal about not wanting to do that. So... Yeah. I think more, maybe that's just because he's just saying everything he can to try and get out of Miami.
Mm.
And I think it goes to show, you know how in the offseason people talk about how, oh, nobody wants to go to Buffalo. It's cold. It sucks there. Everyone wants to go to Miami where it's nice. Look at all these players in Miami wanting to get out of a bad situation. I think it goes to show, and I'm going to say something that I think that I have said in the past is stupid, but when you build a culture, players care more about that than anything else.
Yeah.
And the culture obviously is the culture of winning more than anything. But in terms of, it doesn't matter where you're located. If you build a program that has a potential for wins, players will go there more than just seeking out, you know, nice weather and a big payday, because nobody wants to play for Miami right now.
Exactly. I think they're just, if my understanding is right, I think they're just trying to, even though they've said that they don't fancy, they're not into trading anyone, I can see something happening where some of their bigger assets, the ones they know they're going to get quite a few picks for, they're going to trade them, and they're going to end up with something like 13 to 15 picks in the draft, with six, seven that are going to be in the top 80, pretty much. I mean, they've got, Houston's first round. Obviously, their first round, which will probably be the number one pick. So they've got one, possibly, you're looking at your 9 to 15 range, possibly, for them. So you've got a couple of high picks. They've got a couple of seconds. And then, obviously, stockpiling on the in the middle round. So I think that's potentially, even though they're saying they're not going to do it, I think that's something to look out for, where they will actually start trading those players.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not worried about them, you know. Yeah. And I know this is a preview show for week two, so I'm sorry if anybody wants to talk about the Giants right now, but I just had this really interesting idea, and it's been talked about a little bit. They're going to draft a quarterback this year, right?
Yes.
What would you rather do? And what do you think is most important? Because you look at teams that draft the quarterback first before they have a good team, and that quarterback fails. Mm. Or you look at kind of what we did, where we build the team first and then you go get the quarterback. I think that's the better way to do it. So if they go draft that Tuliavola guy this year.
Tuliavola.
Yeah, if they draft him and he's playing in front of a shoddy offensive line with no running back and no wide receivers and a defense that can't, that makes the, you know, that can't stop anyone, he's just going to get destroyed. And then there goes his body, there goes his confidence, and that's not how you do it. So I think, if anything, if I'm the Dolphins, I trade down that first pick, build up an offensive line, build up a defense, and then take a quarterback the year after. Because you have Rosen, let him play, you know?
Yeah. I think with it, it's a tough one. I don't know what Andrew Luck's situation was when he came into the Colts, whether they had that O-line or not.
Yeah, regardless of their O-line, they still were a playoff team, you know?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, obviously, you're saying that what you'd rather build O-line first. Like, I mean, I say the Cowboys are probably... You probably have the Cowboys as the prime example on that. I think they obviously spent loads of first, second round picks on your offensive line. Then they pick up Prescott in the fourth, and look at them now.
Yeah, I mean, a quarterback in the second, third, or fourth round will do better with a better offensive line.
Mm. Just depends on how well they develop. But
in the coach, yeah, of course, the coach. Yeah. So, I mean, I hope the Dolphins don't listen to me. I hope they build their team the wrong way, and I hope they suck for 10 years.
Yeah.
That'll be better for us.
Anyway, moving on. Week two. The next time, New York Giants back at MetLife Stadium.
I think it should be easy. That's it for today, guys. Thanks for the show. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
I think the last team to win both games back-to-back at the MetLife was the Bears, I believe, in 2003, 2006, or something like that.
Well, I don't think it happens on the schedule very often anyway. Yeah. So it's not like it's impossible to do this. And we have the perfect situation to do it, because the Jets are bad on offense and the Giants are bad on both sides of the ball. Mm. So,
I mean, we asked the Twitter fans on Sunday after the game, stating that we're playing New York next, what are your key to victories? I mean, some of the answers were stopping the run, stop Barkley, just show up, finish the tackles. Because obviously there was a few negative plays that the Jets turned to positives.
Yeah.
Fewer turnovers, more Devin Singletary, stop Barkley, and just Josh Allen taking control of the offense. I mean, to you, what would be your keys?
I mean, everything in there, what you said, is something that is a focus for this week. I think the most important thing is to control the game tempo. With Barkley, with a powerful run game like the Giants have, maybe not a powerful run game because their offensive line is pretty meh, but with the focal point of their offense being a running back, they're going to be on the field for a long time. They're not going to make big plays and go score quickly. So if they control the game and the ball, and we don't have an opportunity maybe to keep up with them on the scoreboard, I mean, if we have a few three and outs and they control the game by racking up first downs, then we're going to be in trouble. I think the most important thing is to do kind of what they do, and that's going to be 10-yard pass plays, running on first and second down, mixing it up, screens to the running back, really control the clock. Don't let them – don't give the Giants an opportunity to win the game at all. We're not going to need to keep pace with them on the scoreboard because I don't think they can score 40.
Yeah.
I don't think that their pass rush can bother Josh Allen. I'm really struggling to find something to be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, they've only just announced their inverted commas number one. Was it Sterling Shepard?
Sterling Shepard's out. Yep, another wide receiver on their roster is out. Golden Tate, which they picked up, is on suspension. So it's 100% the Saquon Barkley show. So you're looking at him having 30 touches, maybe 20 carries and 10 targets.
You still have Evan Engram, though. And he actually posted up a stat line of 111 yards and I believe a touchdown against the Cowboys on 11 or 12 plays.
But I think our defense is designed to handle the tight end. Between having Hyde and Milano on Engram and having Edmonds and Poyer on Barkley, I think that we'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean,
what you want to do is let Eli throw the ball.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a wide receiver that he has any connection with.
Exactly.
So your cornerbacks or your corner, your DBs, your safeties, they're going to feast on balls in the air. And I think that that's going to be exactly what we want. As long as Josh Allen cannot fumble the ball, and as long as he can get it over the defenders, you know, like I said, the turnovers weren't his fault. The fumbles were, but the interceptions weren't. As long as he makes the right reads and the right throws and we run the ball a little bit more, I think Josh Allen will have – this is going to be a game where he gets to focus on the fundamentals and not try and win a game by himself.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be interesting. Do you think they're gonna start to come out the same way they did against Jets? Pass the ball, then run it, or do you think it's gonna be run, pass?
I think there's a possibility to with what's on tape right now. I think the Giants will probably come out expecting us to throw the ball. And I think that's when you do those delayed runs, you know, the reverse play action, essentially. Where you run the ball out of the shotgun a bit. I think the Giants aren't set up for that, and they won't be ready for that. So, I mean, obviously these coaches, they're NFL coaches. They're going to game plan for everything. But just to go off of what the tape was last week, I think that we have a lot of opportunities to do some interesting and creative things on offense. And I'm not every time I say I'm not worried about it, I think in the back of my head, oh my God, is this a trap game? But we're not good enough to take it easy, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas I mean, the Patriots might overlook the Dolphins because they always oddly lose in Miami. I don't think that we have the opportunity to the luxury to take it easy.
Yeah. I think the key battle is can the defensive line actually constantly get the pressure on Eli Manning, because since 2015 I think he's only won about 8 games and lost about triple of games in that spell. So I think about 25 games.
He's a statue.
Yeah,
he got sacked 47 times last year, 31 the year before. I mean, that team's fallen apart. When they were good in 2016, he was 11-5. He was only sacked 21 times. But, like, over the last 5-6 years, he's been in the 30s in terms of sacks. And You know, they haven't been relevant since 2011. I mean, everyone will always talk. Everyone will look back on the Giants and Eli Manning's career and be like, they beat the Patriots twice. How awesome was that? But that's only two out of his, what, 15 years that he's been in the league. For those other years, he's never been that great. Only 3 years has he had a touchdown percentage over five, which Jim Kelly's average was five. So in terms of, you know, comparison there, when he came out, I was like, he's going to be better than Peyton. Just because I kind of like it when there's the younger brother kind of thing, even though oddly I'm an older brother in my family. So I don't know why I think that, but he doesn't worry me. He shouldn't, because he's ancient and he's slow and his arm strength is nothing. That ball just floats in the air. Like I said earlier, I mean, find me something to worry about, because I can't do it.
I think as I was saying, this D-line, can they get the pressure on Manning to make him force the incomplete passes, get the interceptions, and can that front four actually stack up against Barkley and shut him down? I mean, Dallas can do it.
I mean, stopping Barkley is going to be the toughest thing.
Barkley went 120 yards and touchdown on 11 carries, 10.9 yards per carry.
Yeah.
So if we can,
he had a good game last week.
Yeah. If they can limit what he can do, with the lack of wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're potentially looking at a game where you're almost going to get a blowout almost.
I'm worried to say that, because I think that our offense is still trying to find their footing. I mean, that we were really working on something in the first quarter. I mean, all of our drives in the first half last game were really getting down the field. And then just got bad luck on four of those drives. So if they don't turn the ball over on those four drives, they all probably end in points, and it's a completely different game. So maybe you're right, actually, when I think about it. If we don't turn the ball over, we could have 21 points by halftime.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of keys. I mean, that's the best thing. If you can shut down Barkley, if you can shut down Evan Engram, who were their main targets last time out against Dallas. Yeah.
And now then, it's only Engram this week. Yeah. So
you've got those. And if Josh Allen can continue grasping and take command of the huddle, because I believe he started calling plays in the huddle himself, and he was audibling. Based on what he can actually see, so it shows.
So what they were doing last week was he was getting two plays called into his helmet, and he would pick between the two based off the defense.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't work out because, I mean, the wide receiver screen to DeMarco was hideous, but I think that's just Robert Foster missed his assignment on that play. But that they're having they have the confidence in him to do that.
Yeah, I think with that one, I read somewhere that he motioned out, he audibled, because I think it was going to be a run play. Mm-hmm. And he audibled out DeMarco out to wide receiver to actually change to see what the coverage would be. If someone
And that's really smart on his part. So I remember during the game, I was like, why the hell is DeMarco out wide?
Yeah.
But I mean, that makes perfect sense. So that's great to see that they're doing everything that they can to figure it out.
I think it's one thing that I'm kind of looking forward to in the season. I mean, DeBoer and Josh Allen, they're working hard on it. Josh Allen's actually it's starting to become a lot more savvy, a lot more smarter.
Yeah.
And actually can start to look after an offense. So that is mainly one thing that we're going to see, and hopefully see him improve, and obviously make sure he doesn't turn it over. I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, fumbles happen. Everyone fumbles, but it's the interceptions that he needs to control. And like I said, last week was fluky on that. But hopefully, if it really does come down to if he makes some bad decisions and bad interceptions this week, then I'll worry. But right now, I'm not worried.
Yeah, I think another key would be, do you give Singletary the ball more? Knowing what he did on such limited carries compared to what Le'Veon Bell did, who had a lot of carries and a lot of plays, do you run straight away with Devin Singletary, or do you carry on, as I said earlier, gameplay and go pass, 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 knowing that last week Dak Prescott threw for 405 yards and 4 touchdowns, going 25 for 32.
Yeah. Well, I think Singletary earned it, you know? He earned the opportunity to get the ball more. I love not having an answer to this question, actually. It goes to show that the Bills are finally focusing on throwing the ball and being a passing team. So whatever they do, I'm fine with it, because oddly, last week I was saying, oh my God, run the ball more, which is the opposite of what I've been saying all offseason.
Yeah.
So I think if the Bills can make me change my mind and my, you know, thinking, then that means that they're doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, when this goes out, there'll be about a day or so to the game till we find out whether we go 2-0. And I'll leave you on this thought, which I found scrolling through, that the Bills can be just the fourth team to beat the Jets and the Giants in consecutive weeks on the road. And history says that all previous three teams made it to the postseason. The last team to do that was the Chicago Bears in 2006.
And they made it to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I mean, that's obviously a fluky stat. But what's most important is starting the season with 2 away wins. Because the road victories are the hardest ones to get. So if you can start with 2 of them, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
Even if you have to go 1-1 to split away games is fine. But in this situation, I think that you can probably squeak out a home win that you shouldn't have. But when you can win away games, that makes those home games just all the better. So this is huge for us to start with 2 away victories.
Yes. And hopefully when we pick this back up with the review show on Sunday after the game, we'll be singing the praises of Josh Allen, Brian DeBoer, and Sean McDermott even more so.
Absolutely. So listeners, please, during the game, before, during, and after, tweet at us, post on Facebook, any questions, any comments, any concerns about the Buffalo Bills, and we will talk about it and answer your questions on our post-game podcast.
Sure. And that's all left for me to say until the next episode. It's from me in England and Alex back home enjoying the home life back in Buffalo for a while. It is for this time. Until next time, continue listening, downloading, subscribing, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on 3. 1, 2, 3.